This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Joining us, Do Young Park. He covers the Twins for MLB.com. Do, we talked about it before the news at the top. When you give up 16 walks in two games, that is not a recipe to win ball games.
That is that was one of my favorite, I don't know if favorite graphics is the right way to put it, but that was one of the graphics I enjoyed most and still a draw upon most in my time with this job from the old Metrodome days, the walks will haunt graphic, right?
Yeah.
With the little cartoon ghost and everything. Yeah, that's proven right. True. I mean, Chris Archer putting the Twins behind the eight ball today with the six walks, tying his season high from two starts ago. And it was just one of those things where he mentioned today he just didn't have any of his stuff working. And he tried to grit through it the best he could. But when you're making mistake pitches to guys like Rowdy Tellez, they're going to hit those balls a long way.
Yeah, got away from the Twins today and on getaway day. Twins head for San Diego in a three-game series with the Padres on Friday night. Our coverage begins at 8 o'clock. And Do Young Park joins us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. And let's start with Archer. Are they going to continue to run him out there based on what we've seen? Two out of the three last starts, he's walked a ton of guys.
Yeah, two out of the three last three starts, excuse me, has walked a ton of guys, but he's a guy that they've had confidence in all year. I mean, I think even before the stretch started, he had like a 3.12 ERA or something like that for the first couple months of the season. And I know he's been a somewhat polarizing figure among a lot of fans that I see on Twitter, at least, just because he's a guy that the Twins protect. They're not going to let him go more than twice through the order most times. A lot of times that ends in him exiting the game after four or five innings, and that really does, the effect of that is really accentuated when the bullpen is as thin as it has been. But at the same time, like, the mold of what the Twins and what baseball has viewed as a capable starter has changed over the years. Four or five innings a lot of times will put teams in positions to win, and I think we've all been kind of conditioned over the years to think, well, a starter's got to go six, seven, eight innings. That's just kind of not how a lot of teams around the business operate these days. And the Twins have often gotten a very solid four or five innings. I mean, they might not be very pretty, but Archer's done a great job of limiting the hits in particular this year. He's lost his command at times. He, I think, it gets susceptible to nibbling a bit too. But more often than not, the results have been there. And at least while the arm holds up, while the hip holds up and everything like that, the Twins have a capable four to five inning guy. And that still has plenty of value on a team.
Dylan Bundy took a step back before the break. He was showing signs of progress, and then Tuesday night in Milwaukee, not kind to Dylan Bundy, but he is another guy that they're going to need to lean on. They hope he returns to form that he had before the break, because there were a few starts in there that were very credible.
Well, they're going to have to lean on him more because the options just kind of aren't there for the Twins right now as much as anything else. I mean, he's not a guy that's going to blow you away with the stuff. With the back-end guys, Archer, at least, is throwing mid-90s right now. He's got that power slider and the power changeup in the high 80s, low 90s, and that sort of thing. Bundy's not going to touch any of that with a lot of his offerings. And so that makes his margin for error in a lot of these starts a lot less. He has had success. He has been hit around. But right now, there's no real return timetable on Bailey Ober. Chris Paddock's obviously down with the surgery. Josh Winder's shoulder keeps flaring up. That's been a recurring issue for him since last year. Devin Smeltzer down in AAA with the Twins running a four-man rotation. He'd been showing a little vulnerability in his last couple outings as well. There's not that many options the Twins have to turn to right now. They've got a core four right now. Who knows how things will change before the trade deadline next Tuesday, but at least for the time being, this is the group the Twins have. And like you said, the White Sox and Guardians are coming up, but this is the group that they're going to have to count on for the time being.
Yeah, and Kenta Maeda, we do know that any hope that he would pitch in 22 would be a bonus. In reality, they're not going to be able to rely on Maeda until next season.
No, and it's not going to be as a starter if he's back this year either. I mean, right. it's kind of going to be a see what they can get out of him ramp up. I believe he's down in Florida right now, starting a real ramp up down at the Twins minor league complex in Fort Myers. But there's some hope that he can make it back by September. I think physically, there's probably a decent chance he'll at least put himself in a position to be in the conversation to pitch. Now, as to whether the Twins are in position to need him to pitch and how his arm responds to the outings and that sort of thing, I think that's really going to dictate what the Twins could get out of him. But at the same time, I don't think he's going to be a starting pitcher at any point this year, that's for sure.
Today's game really wasn't on the bullpen, but you go back to Tuesday night, and it did get away from the bullpen late, and you don't need to talk to too many Twins fans and realize, you know, when is the bullpen help coming, that there is a lot of pressure on Derek Falvey and Thad Levine to make a move and make an improvement there, but sometimes easier said than done.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny, right? Because I think there's always this perception of like, well, if you're going to make a trade at the trade deadline, if you need help, just go get it. Just overpay or whatever, or do what you need to do. They're making the calls that they need to make. They're obviously in dialogues with every team around the league to see what their options are and that sort of thing. A couple things are different this year. First of all, expanded playoffs. The buyers and sellers are obviously sorting themselves out, and we have some idea of that, but we don't have a full idea of that. And I think, especially with expanded playoffs, there's a lot of different teams that could be like, well, we could take a stab at this. Even if we don't fully sell, we might have a shot at this sort of thing. And I think those things out, and oftentimes those conversations are like, well, we know you have interest. We'll see what other teams are willing to offer, and we'll get back to you. And those things, often do take time. The other part of it is, well, there is urgency, obviously, to improve this bullpen. It's really been Johan Duran and Griffin Jacks holding down the show. At the same time, if you're rushing that, for what? I mean, you're getting like an extra two or three innings out of a reliever that you might get in the grand scheme of things. And if it takes a quote-unquote overpay, maybe that's parting with a higher caliber prospect or an extra prospect to throw in or something like that. These obviously make a difference in games. The bullpen has made a difference in games, but I think in the grand scheme of things, when you're talking about like a three or four extra innings from a guy, I just don't know that they're willing to, you know, accelerate the process and just force something through for the sake of doing it.
Do Young Park joining us, covers the Twins for MLB.com, does an outstanding job with the club year-round. Though I want to bring up the return of Miguel Sano, and you look at the numbers, and in the big picture this season, it's been ugly. He was out for a long time with injury, tore it up at Triple-A, but the Twins are in a spot where he's potentially taking at-bats away from other players that maybe have proven that they deserve those at-bats, but they're still paying Sano, and if there's any value, they got to figure out. So they're in that delicate balancing act right now of getting him playing time to see if he can figure it out.
Well, I think one aspect that, well, I don't want to say helps because it's an unfortunate circumstance, is kind of the issue with Max Kepler's toe right now, the pinky toe that's broken. The Twins are going to see if he can play through that, but that does open up a level for more consistent playing time with Alex Kirilloff bumping out to the outfield in that case. I mean, I don't think it doesn't have to do with the amount of money that they're paying Miguel Sano or anything like that. So much of it is just the fact that he has shown the capability of being a game-changing bat that can carry an offense before, and you don't even need to go all too far in the past to see that. I think he's obviously a polarizing figure because of the prolonged cold streaks and the strikeouts and that sort of things, and I get it. It's not really like an aesthetically pleasing style of player, but at the same time, the value has been there, and he's been a second-half performer throughout his career, and especially in recent years. He was a big part of that 2019 second half. He was very productive in the second half of last year, and it's just not a guy that you can really give up on easily because of a slow start or, you know, the strikeouts or anything like that. I don't think they're coming into this with any sort of expectations for Miguel Sano. They stuck him in the nine hole yesterday. They're just trying to ease him back in just to see what he can give them. Because like you said, you got guys like Jose Miranda and Alex Kirilloff that are performing at the big league level that are big parts of this team's future. At the same time, this offense has been inconsistent. And if there is a impact bat somewhere in there in Miguel Sano, and he had been hitting great on his rehab assignment in AAA, it's on them to find out, and they're going to try to find out over these coming weeks.
Yeah, and Sano, as you brought it up, he could carry the team if he were able to get hot. We've seen it before, as you alluded to. You know, with a little over 2 months to go in the season, he gets hot for a week or 10 days. That is a huge deal for this ball club as they try and close out a division crown.
Yeah, that's a big, big deal, and obviously when he gets to those hot streaks is a question. If he gets to those hot streaks is a question. We've had this conversation with the Twins before. They don't know often when these things are going to come or what helps it click for Miguel. They just kind of ride the lows until they get to the highs. And it is true that he is often a slow starter. He was in a brutal slump to start this season. It took him a while to get going in 2019 and that sort of thing. That's why they kept him on that rehab assignment for the maximum 20 days. They stretched it out to give him as much of a runway to play as possible. And they're going to have to find out if he's going to play into one of those hot streaks soon, because they could use him.
Yeah, and I certainly want to get into more detail on that piece and just come get some of your thoughts on what you did at MLB.com. Where could the Twins use help at the deadline? We already alluded to the bullpen. Easier said than done, because all the contenders want bullpen help. What are your thoughts ultimately? Because there are some big-time starting pitchers available out there, and everyone covets that, especially those starting pitchers that are under control. Could you see the Twins taking a lump of prospects and maybe going out and getting one of those guys, one of those frontline guys that might be under control beyond 2022, not a rent-a-player deal?
I mean, I think they would sure like to. I mean, I think the focus of this deadline is going to be impact pitching wherever they can get it. We've said over and over and over again, obviously the biggest need is in the bullpen, and I think that's the most immediate need, and I think that's kind of the biggest kind of glaring sign for them to fill, considering, yeah, this bullpen has cost them games over the last month, and in its current state, it probably will continue to cost them games moving forward, and that's something they really got to deal with, especially as they pressure young guys like Griffin Jacks and Joan Duran to really carry that load. At the same time, I mean, you see with Bundy and with Archer and with the uncertainty around Ober and Winder and obviously Paddock down, they could use another starter to round out not just the depth of a playoff rotation, but an impact guy who can help them get distance from the White Sox and Guardians in the division in the starting rotation. Like, Sonny Gray has come out of his little mini slump, hopefully, with that big start at Detroit that he had. Joe Ryan has been Mr. Cool all year. I mean, he's been the rock of the rotation. They could use another guy in there, because you just don't know what you're going to get from Archer. You don't know what you're going to get from Bundy. And you don't know what the health looks like from beyond that. Here's the problem with, I mean, the Twins have not hesitated to make deals for controllable starters in the past, right? Like, even with Chris Paddock this year, he's a controllable guy they brought in. Kenta Maeda in the past. Sonny Gray this offseason, another one of those guys. I mean, when they see value in those deals, they make them. I think there's this kind of perception that the Twins don't make those sorts of deals, but they have in the recent past, maybe not at the trade deadline necessarily, but they have. But here's the problem, and here's a problem that the Twins might run into here. The prospect well is drier, especially at the top end, than I've seen it in this organization sometime. I don't think Royce Lewis is going anywhere. And then behind that, I mean, Austin Martin, his value is a lot lower than it has been. Simeon Woods Richardson has been hurt illness for about a month. Jordan Balazovic, the club's erstwhile top pitching prospect, has been pitching through injury and not very good this year. And even behind that, I think you got to get to like Spencer Steer and Matt Wallner as kind of your top prospects that you're trying to package in before you maybe dig into like the Jose Mirandas and the Trevor Larnacks of the world as like a true top end kind of bat to sweeten the deal and that sort of thing. And so I think it's going to take either creativity in terms of a prospect kind of haul that would move the needle on a lot of these things, especially on what's going to be a competitive market with a lot of the big power players also looking for starting pitchers, or even like parting ways with a guy like Larnick or Miranda, who have been contributors to this big league team. And that's a big balance to have to ride, I think, especially since the competition for those top end starters or controllable starters is really going to be something in the week leading up to this deadline, I think.
No doubt. Pitching. Final thought, and it gets back to your piece at MLB.com. Catching depth. You bring that up. I want to get your thoughts on that a little bit before we let you go.
Yeah, I mean, they're really going to have to lean hard on Gary Sanchez right now. Obviously, Ryan Jeffers is the guy they want to lean on. He's the guy that pitchers love throwing to Jeffers. He's really, really big in their game planning. He's down until September with that broken thumb, and they're going to lean on Sanchez, but they've been staying away from Caleb Hamilton, the backup they just called up, too. And I don't know how much of a market there is for veteran catchers and that sort of thing, but I think if they can they can find something for a reasonable price, I sure think they would. That's something that would open their eyes, especially as they're going to have to really lean on Gary Sanchez, at least in the short term.
All right. Well, Doe, always good to visit with you. Thanks for the time.
Thanks, Steve. Really appreciate you.
All right. There he is. Doe Young-Park covers the Twins for MLB.com, and you can find his work at the Twins website and at MLB.com, but he does a phenomenal job with the club.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.